In the last class of the Warren County Radio Bible School, we were talking about the synagogue that was at Capernaum. And I mentioned that I had been there. I was privileged to take a trip into those Bible lands, and I entered into the ruins of an old synagogue that was in Capernaum. Now, the synagogue where I entered was not the same one that was standing at the time of Christ, but it was built over the same spot. And there were places where they had removed the tiles from the floor and dug down to the ancient floor of the old synagogue where Jesus himself had stood. And I was fascinated to think that I could look down upon that floor and see the very floor where Jesus had stood, maybe some of the very spots where he had walked. But even more than that, right beside that old synagogue in Capernaum, they had dug to its side and discovered the foundations of that earlier synagogue and also the road that went alongside that synagogue, that old rough, rubbled rock road. You could look upon it, and this indeed was a road that existed in Capernaum at the time of Jesus. And would it have been possible for us to have gone into the gate surrounding that road and to walk down it, we could have walked in the very footprints of Jesus. Now, not seeing those footprints, but knowing that he had walked that very road in his sandals. Now, we're looking at a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of January the 2nd, 1927, about the Christian being a follower of Jesus. And in just a moment, I'm going to take off where we left off at our last lesson, and with Elam's notes on this particular topic. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you from Elam's Sunday school notes. In Jesus' day, Capernaum is said to have had 30,000 inhabitants. Jesus made his home there for at least 2 years, and it is called his own city. In the margin of Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 of the American Standard Version, it calls this his home. No city on earth could have enjoyed more exalted privileges. There Jesus not only resided, but taught in the synagogue, in homes, and on the seashore, did many miracles, and there 5 of his apostles lived. To it, in its wasted opportunities and despised privileges, Jesus said, "And thou, Capernaum, shalt be exalted unto heaven, thou shalt go down into Hades, for if the mighty works had been done in Sodom which were done in thee, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Matthew 11:23-24. Here's some helps and hints for the teacher. After all our study of the Bible, all we have learned and yet may learn of it, and after all our efforts to teach it to others, our own salvation depends altogether upon our practicing it. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The one who arranged these lessons placed before us one grand aim, namely, to discover through a study of the teachings of Jesus and his apostles the Christian way of living in our day. This is the great purpose in studying the teachings of him who spake as never man spake. But it must be remembered that the Christian way of living in our day is the same Christian way of living as it was in the days of the apostles. There have been no changes. Christianity is the teachings of Christ. And Christian living is hearing and doing His sayings. Aside from His teaching, there can be no Christian living. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28 and verse 20. No one then has ever really taught the Bible who is not fully impressed the absolute necessity of implicit obedience to it. Let's look at the explanatory notes. I'm going to turn back to Mark chapter 1 verse 16, where it says, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, this, along with Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 22, and Luke chapter 5, 1 through 10, record the calling of these four disciples, and comment is made upon them as follows on all that these three say. Luke goes into more detail than Matthew and Mark, although Luke does not mention Andrew by name in this connection. Matthew says Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and Peter and Andrew casting a net into the sea. And going on further, he saw James and John, and Mark says the same. Matthew and Mark omit the fact that Jesus taught the multitudes by the sea at this time, also the great drought of fishes that they gathered in, but Luke mentions these. When he taught the multitudes, standing by the lake of Gennesaret, he called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. While he taught by the sea, the multitudes pressed upon him and heard the word of God. By the seaside was a convenient place to teach, and a favorite one with Jesus. He sat in a boat and taught on different occasions. He sat in the boat and taught while multitudes stood on the beach. He sat down when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. There were two boats which belonged to these four disciples. The fishermen had toiled all night in vain and were now out of their boats washing their nets. After washing the nets, they went back to the boats, and James and John were mending their nets. Jesus entered into Simon's boat and asked him to put out a little from the land and to let down the nets for a draught. Peter replied that they'd toiled all night and had taken nothing, yet at Jesus' word they would try again. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishers, and their nets were breaking. They found it necessary to call to their assistance their partners, James and John. This was done by beckoning to James and John, and they came and filled both the boats so that they were about to sink. Jesus must have kept the boats from sinking. When Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." In contrast with the purity and power of Jesus, Peter felt his own sinfulness and weakness, but his humility and confession show Peter's fitness to enter upon his future work. All as well as Peter were amazed at this, although Jesus had worked miracles before. When they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed Jesus. We read in Mark chapter 1. Verses 17 through 20. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they left the nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and went after him. Returning to Elam's notes, we read, "First Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, 'Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men.' At once they left the nets and followed him. Going on a little further, Jesus called James and John, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Not for the sake of the fishes, referred to above, did Jesus cause them to catch so many. In this he taught them a great and needed lesson, namely, transcendently greater it is to catch men than to catch fishes, and if they would follow him, they should catch men. To follow him was not only to go about with him during his personal ministry, but to obey him ever and to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Andrew and Peter and James and John were partners. They owned their boats and hired hired servants. Their business was an honest one, and they were successful. This shows that they were energetic, practical, reliable businessmen of general observation and good common sense. Hard workers they were. The study of the characteristics and work of all the apostles is both interesting and helpful. From John 1, 29 through 42, we learn that Andrew, Peter, John, and perhaps James were already disciples of Jesus at the time of this lesson. John the Baptist pointed out Jesus to his own disciples as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. All of the apostles were present when Jesus was baptized. This was necessary in order to become an apostle, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 22. Andrew, Peter, John, and others, and perhaps James, went with Jesus from his temptation to Cana of Galilee, to Capernaum, and back to Jerusalem through Judea, where they baptized under his direction, and then back into Galilee. For a short while, they seem to have returned to their own homes and private affairs, but now they leave all to follow him permanently, and indeed, to catch men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left all and followed him. We can never fully realize the vast importance and superlative glory of winning souls to Christ until we stand complete in him and experience the light, life, and salvation of the new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. After this, when the rich young ruler went away exceeding sorrowfully, Peter said to Jesus, "Lo, we have left our own and followed thee." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or wife, or brethren, or parents, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this time, and in the world to come, eternal life." Luke chapter 18:27-30. Well, it's in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 that we read about Matthew becoming a disciple. He is called Levi in our text. Let me read to you Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. "And he went forth again by the seaside, and the multitudes resorted to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a place of toll, and he said to him, 'Follow him.' And he arose and followed him." He's called Matthew, and he is called Levi. So we're talking about the same person here when we're talking about Matthew, Levi. Luke 5:27 says, "After these things he went forth." He said he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted to him, and he taught them. Mark relates a fact omitted by Matthew and Luke, namely that Jesus went forth from this house and taught the multitude by the seaside. We'll continue this lesson in our next class.